Widener University supports WHYY. Widener offers over 60 undergraduate majors and concentrations, including communication studies, computer science, business administration, and more. Widener is hosting a Widener Day open house on Saturday, October 10th at 9 a.m. It's an opportunity to explore campus life with a guided tour, meet with professors, and chat with current students. That's Saturday, October 10th at 9 a.m. Registration available now at widener.edu/openhouse. Widener leadership works.
A Philadelphia judge makes a big award in a civil suit against Kermit Gosnell. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. WHYY's Tom McDonald reports, though, that that award could be nothing more than a number.
Former Dr. Kermit Gosnell was convicted of murder in 2013 for delivering and then killing babies at his now-shuttered West Philadelphia clinic. Now, Common Pleas Court Judge Jacqueline Allen's awarded $3.9 million to a woman whose mother died after receiving an abortion at the clinic. The award against both Gosnell and the clinic includes $3.25 million in punitive damages. The problem is, Gosnell's lawyer says he doesn't have the money to pay the award. Veteran defense attorney Chuck Peruto Jr. says he's seen it happen many times.
I've had at least three of these cases where the verdicts were in excess of $1 million. You can't collect it because insurance companies don't cover this. It's an intentional act.
Peruto says the $200,000 in cash found in a search of Gosnell's properties is most likely long gone.
He had to pay lawyers. He had to pay other fees to everybody else, and there's not going to be anything left.
Gosnell is serving life in prison without parole for three first-degree murder counts and one count of involuntary manslaughter. That conviction stems from the death in this lawsuit. I'm Tom McDonald, WHYY News.
When Pope Francis arrives in the United States next week, he's expected to address some controversial issues, including immigration reform and climate change. WHYY's Katie Culinary reports that advocacy groups are using the papal visit to make their voices heard, but not always in ways His Holiness would approve.
Some environmental groups have been calling for a ban on fracking for years now. The latest push comes on the eve of the papal visit. Rabbi Mordecai Liebling is one of 100 religious leaders who signed a letter urging Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf to stop natural gas drilling in response to the Pope's encyclical on climate change.
The governor has the ability to listen to his moral conscience and the moral conscience of the people and to listen to the words of Pope Francis and choose life by ending fracking now.
Those who doubt the scientific consensus on climate change are also getting on their soapboxes. At a press conference, members of the Heartland Institute, a conservative think tank, criticized Pope Francis as being part of an elaborate political conspiracy. The group's Elizabeth Yore, who is Catholic, says the Pope is lying to the world about man-made global warming.
This is of great concern that the truth, which is supposed to be the tenet which the Catholic Church promotes, despite modernism, despite the culture, despite popularity, that the truth is supposed to be our lodestar.
The press conference later devolved into a shouting match between organizers and an environmental activist who posed as a journalist.
Please raise your hand and don't call out from your seat. No, I didn't say you could speak.
We'll see if it's any more civil when Pope Francis speaks to a divided Congress next week. Katie Culinary, WHYY News.
A crowd nearly 1 million strong is expected to flock to Philadelphia next week to welcome Pope Francis. And for the faithful, it's a chance to get close to their spiritual leader. For unlicensed street vendors, it's an opportunity to make a lot of extra dough. WHYY's Aaron Moselle and Jeanette Woods brings us that story.
Get your ice cold drinks. Ice cold. Welcome to Philly. I got the coldest waters in the city. My name is Nazir Law. And I've been in the water game for the last 15 years.
Allah is standing across 6th Street from Independence Mall near a line of tourists waiting for a duck boat tour. He's got two bottles of Poland spring water in his hand and a portable cooler at his feet. When he learned the Pope was coming, there wasn't much question what he'd do. Try to make some money.
Basically, I'm just going to stick to the water and stick to the Gatorades and pretzels. You know what I'm saying? As far as the Pope, Al Vanilla, it's up in the air, you know what I mean? Like, if I get the T-shirts, then I could try to sell them. But they just opened up the official Pope store on Market Street, so I don't know, like, how that's going to go far as the street vendors, you know what I mean?
Okay, now, we're going to make our T-shirt. Other street entrepreneurs aren't worried about the competition.
So I'm gonna put the shade underneath, knock the heat down.
Askia is in his basement printing shop, and he's splashing Pope Francis's face on T-shirts, flags, and hats.
30 seconds.
He didn't want us to use his last name, but he's a relative of mine, and I can vouch for him. He is the king of what many call the side hustle.
When I heard the Pope was coming to Philadelphia, I said, wow, I'm looking forward to this event. I hope that it'll be a prosperous day for me.
Like a general, Askia has a complex plan for getting his merchandise to the people via foot soldiers, old friends, and new recruits.
And we can get out there on Roosevelt Boulevard, 95, all the expressways. If I had a person to pull on every major expressway exit, I would do it. They're going to be coming in from everywhere. Why not meet them right there at the curb?
Part of his strategy is to avoid Center City, its security fences and travel rules.
I don't really need to get that close. I can work on the outside.
He hopes staying on the fringes will net him more cash and less trouble from the law.
You always have to contend with that element, the old license and inspection.
That's the city department in charge of making sure that every street vendor has registered his or her business with the city and paid for a vending license. Ralph DiPietro is a deputy commissioner with LNI and the liaison between the World Meeting of Families and his department.
There's a list of approved vendors that will operate. The department's given a copy of that list. And when we go out and conduct inspections, we verify that you're on that list. And if you are, you're in the proper location and you're doing it safely, and you're good. If you're not on that list, you're asked to move or you're confiscated.
Starting next Thursday, a dedicated group of inspectors, the vending unit, will be out in Center City, from Bainbridge to Spring Garden Streets, river to river. They'll work in 12-hour shifts throughout the event. DiPietro says the goal is to keep the event safe and peaceful.
There might be several dozen vendors confiscated or relocated during those events. I imagine something on a scale like this could be many more times that.
But there's always at least a couple street vendors who take things just too far.
We've seen virtually everything from shopping carts rigged to serve as barbecue grills, you know, like a portable barbecue grill. We've seen folks come in with propane-fueled, again, homemade sort of warmers and cooking devices. And it runs the gamut. People are very creative.
And DiPietro has a message for anyone who's looking to pick up a few bucks on the side.
If you're thinking of selling stuff and you're not on the approved list and you haven't gotten your licenses, stay home.
LNI. Oh boy, those guys are something.
For his part, Askia does not plan on taking DiPietro's advice. He promises to do what it takes to sell all of his merchandise.
I will literally grab some shopping carts, which I have a couple carts, put my bags in those carts, and roll down Broad Street. I'm still going to meet the masses, either on the highway or on the street.
He doesn't think the Pope would mind folks making a few extra dollars.
For WHYY,
I'm Jeanette Woods.
The best things in life are free.
And I'm Aaron Mosell.
But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Check out WHYY.org/Pope in Philly to help prepare for the papal weekend. We have info on all the events and how to get around, plus a quiz to see just how much you know about Pope Francis. The coal industry has entered a period of steep decline over the past 5 years, while still providing about 40% of the nation's electricity. Coal-fired electricity is competing with cheaper natural gas, and it also has to deal with the EPA. Coal plants that want to stay open need to spend big bucks to comply with new pollution rules. State Impact Pennsylvania's Reed Frazier reports that coal's new normal means fewer plants with cleaner emissions.
On a hot, muggy day, the coal-fired Homer City power plant pumps out enough electricity to power a million homes. The electrons coursing out of Homer City literally whiz along a high-voltage power line just outside the plant. Homer City is surrounded by farmland in Indiana County, northeast of Pittsburgh. John and Maureen Vilcek live a mile from the plant. They raise their kids here. The Vilceks say they don't even notice the rumble from the plant anymore.
You can hear it now, but it's something you get used to. It doesn't bother you.
I'd much rather it be coal-fired than nuclear.
The power plant has been ranked as one of the dirtiest in the country. But Maureen Vilcek says she doesn't want to see it shut down.
That's a lot of the economy of this region. I would hate to see something happen to this power plant.
Around 200 coal-fired power plants nationwide have either closed or announced plans to go out of business. Low natural gas prices have already hammered the coal-fired power sector. Now federal clean air rules are forcing plants to make a stark choice: clean up or shut down. Homer City is cleaning up. James Shapiro is with GE Energy Financial Services, which owns the plant. At an air permit hearing, he said the company has been installing two enormous scrubbers at Homer City. These will reduce emissions of mercury and sulfur dioxides from its smokestacks.
The actual scrubbers are $750 million, but when you also add to it what's called the cost for balance of plant, it's over $1 billion.
The plant's doing this to comply with a series of rules the Federal Environmental Protection Agency has implemented to clean up the power sector. These include the 2012 mercury and air toxics standards. The Supreme Court struck the rule down and sent it back to EPA for a rewrite earlier this year. But that wasn't before plants like Homer City had to decide whether or not to comply. Todd Kohlross is one of the engineers installing the plant's new pollution controls. He says the scrubbers are a sign that GE is doubling down on Homer City.
They're banking on the plant. And if we didn't put it in, then the plant won't run. So either you had to do it or you were done.
But not every plant owner is willing to spend that kind of cash to keep pace with the EPA's new air rules.
It didn't make sense given that the plant was already losing money.
Stephanie Hamilton is a spokesperson for First Energy. In 2013, the utility announced it would close the Hatfields Ferry power plant, one of two it was shutting near Pittsburgh. The plants weren't making electricity cheaply enough to compete with natural gas power. Then the EPA announced its mercury rules. First Energy decided to cut its losses.
It would have required significant investments in additional equipment, and the estimated cost of those upgrades for Hatfields Ferry alone was $245 million.
These closures are evidence for some that the federal government has it in for the coal industry. Joe Duckett is an environmental engineer who's watched it all play out for 35 years.
Some people call it, and I would tend to agree with it, it's kind of a war on coal-fired power plants, a regulatory war, with the idea that they are very identifiable emitters of a number of pollutants that people want to see reduced.
Duckett, who sits on a state air quality committee, says coal has been an easy target for regulators. That's because, unlike a steel mill, you can't just move a power plant overseas if it gets too expensive to operate. He thinks companies are spending billions of dollars for increasingly small improvements to air quality.
When you get down to some of the levels that we're now regulating, it is arguable how much bang for the buck you get. And so do we really need that or not?
But environmentalists say, yes, we do need those pollution controls. Tom Schuster's with the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. He says dirty coal plants are making people sick.
On an annual basis, the pollution from Homer City results in 250 premature deaths, 420 heart attacks, 3,900 asthma attacks.
Schuster says if coal wants to compete with other types of energy, it'll have to do it cleanly.
Coal can be cheap and coal can be clean, but it can't be both at the same time.
And it may only get harder for coal, Schuster says, as the EPA's new climate rules come online. These focus on another byproduct of burning coal, carbon dioxide. Coal plants say they're still not sure what they'll have to do to comply with another new rule. I'm Reed Frazier, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
Taking a look at this evening's headlines, Montgomery County detectives have executed a new search warrant on the office of Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane. The detectives showed up at the office in Harrisburg today, more than 1 month after Kane was charged with perjury, obstruction, and other offenses related to her alleged leak of confidential information from a 2009 grand jury investigation. The charges against Kane came from an investigation by Montgomery County detectives. Kane denies breaking any laws. She also faces an effort by an ethics board to have her law license suspended. After losing ownership of the Suzanne Roberts Theater to foreclosure last year, the Philadelphia Theater Company announced today that it has repurchased its longtime home from TD Bank. The transaction was financed by a $3 million fundraising campaign spearheaded by the Roberts family and a $2 million loan from the Philadelphia Industrial Development Corporation. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's administration moves to block environmental groups and a Democratic state senator from intervening in the state's settlement with ExxonMobil. Four environmental groups and State Senator Ray Lesniak argue that the $225 million settlement was way too little compared with an earlier estimate of $8.9 billion. They seek to become parties in the case. Mostly clear skies, 84 degrees on Independence Mall. It's 621. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY. Clear skies overnight, falling back to 67 degrees. Enjoy sunny days tomorrow and Saturday, high both days in the mid-80s. A few clouds roll in on Sunday, cooler, high 78. And ahead to Monday, partly sunny, high in the low 70s. Still ahead, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer spoke in Philadelphia in celebration of today's National Constitution Day.
Contrary to popular belief, there are 314 million of our 315 million Americans who aren't judges and lawyers. And they are the ones, they're the ones you have to convince.
Newsworks Tonight continues on WHYY.
Fox Chase Cancer Center, part of Temple Health, supports WHYY and Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. The single greatest risk factor for ovarian cancer is a family history of the disease. Fox Chase's risk assessment program provides ovarian cancer risk assessment and prevention options, including counseling and education on genetic testing. From your first encounter with Fox Chase, you'll find a multidisciplinary approach to the treatment of ovarian cancer with an experienced team of gynecologic cancer specialists, now offering next business day appointments. Learn more at foxchase.org.
Guided by Quaker values, Folkways at Gwinnett, a continuing care retirement community for active adults 65 and over since 1967, supports WHYY. Folkways provides residents with proven financial stability, a comprehensive health care program, and a community where friendship, caring, dignity, and respect are a way of life. Sunrooms are now available on select apartments. To experience life at Folkways and to arrange for a personal tour, 267-464-5038. 267-464-5038.
Karen Treatment Center supports WHYY. Is someone you care about struggling, losing interest in activities they loved? Changes like these can be a sign of drug and alcohol abuse. As a behavioral health care and addiction treatment center, Karen helps families understand when professional help is warranted, offering therapies that restore wellness in body, mind, and spirit. A confidential assessment is available at 855-894-4325 or at karen.org. That's CARON.org.
Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. 28 parishioners from Delaware will represent the first state when the papal choir sings during the big outdoor mass on Sunday, September 27th. WHYY's Shirley Min introduces us to two of them who happen to be husband and wife.
The angelic voices of the 500-member papal choir fill Philadelphia's Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul. 140 parishes are represented, including some from Delaware and New Jersey. Wilmington Diocese spokesman Bob Krebs says Philadelphia leaders invited his members to try out.
The fact that they opened it up to folks from neighboring dioceses was really quite nice of them. They didn't have to.
But the auditions were far from easy, says Patricia Lundy.
It was very hard. Sight reading, repeating lines that she would play a cappella to make sure that you are on pitch, that you can hear.
Lundy worships at St. Mary of the Assumption in Hokesson, where her husband Michael is music director. No stranger to auditions, even Michael says the 15-minute tryouts were tough.
But I think I did okay.
He did better than okay. In fact, they both did.
I mean, the audition, you hear, you know, hundreds of people going, and then to actually get picked was wow.
It's a very deep and profound happiness and joy that you get from being able to serve the church in this way.
From the Delaware Desk, I'm Shirley Min, WHYY News.
With the Pope coming to town next week, all eyes are on the region's Catholic community. Just in time for the World Meeting of Families, WHYY brings you Ancient Faith, Modern Lives. It's an exploration of Catholicism. Tune in for this special presentation tonight at 8. Today is National Constitution Day, commemorating the adoption of the U.S. Constitution on September 17th, 1787. That's when delegates to the Constitutional Convention signed the document into law, just across the street from our studios on Independence Mall. And to celebrate the occasion, the National Constitution Center hosted U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. His new book is entitled The Court and the World, American Law and the New Global Realities. Addressing a large crowd this afternoon, Breyer recalled how the president of the Supreme Court in Ghana asked for advice on how to bring about democracy in her country. In response, Breyer shared his take on the Brown versus Board of Education decision.
That was the time of Martin Luther King. That was the time of the bus boycotts. That was the time of the Freedom Riders. That was the time when lots of people who were not lawyers and who were not judges went to the South to try to do what they could to see that that Brown order was enforced. And that's the message I want to get across. I say, you want a rule of law in your country? Please, don't just talk to judges and lawyers. They're already agreeing with you. And contrary to popular belief, there are 314 million of our 315 million Americans who aren't judges and lawyers. And they are the ones. Well, they're the ones you have to convince. They're the ones.
Breyer maintains that as the world evolves, citizens in America and around the world have a responsibility to listen and learn from other societies.
It's the world that's changed. And the world, you're not there because there's some liberal judges who have a view of things or because it has nothing to do with individuals. Our docket, our opportunities, our judicial lives and so forth are not a function of individuals, and they're not a function of one philosophy or another philosophy. They're a function of a world that's changing and has changed. And that's the point I want to get across, because those are the challenges that I think, at least in part, we have to deal with.
U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer speaking today at the National Constitution Center. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Benyakov and Kimberly Haas, with help today from Alex Lewis. Listen again to a story or catch up on a missed show via podcast or online at newsworks.org. Stay tuned to WHYY at 8 this evening for our special presentation, Ancient Faith, Modern Lives, an Exploration of Catholicism. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.
Newman University supports WHYY and encourages listeners to discover how a master's degree in pastoral clinical mental health counseling can help prepare adults for professional licensure and roles in community counseling. Designed to integrate psychology and spirituality, this ecumenical program is open to people of all faith traditions. There's an information session on October 1st at Newman's campus. Details at newman.edu. Newman University's master's degree in pastoral clinical mental health counseling.
Caring Friends Home Care, a subsidiary of Friends Life Care Partners, supports WHYY, a nonprofit Quaker-based organization. Caring Friends Home Care provides in-home care services, including home care aides, meal preparation, dressing, hygiene, light housekeeping, and more. With hourly and live-in care, clients receive services while remaining in their own homes. Clients living in long-term care communities can receive additional support. Details at caringfriendshomecare.org.